Good morning. Good to have you along with us today. Today's program, originally set to air May 25th and 26th, year of our Lord 2025. It is the last weekend in May, which means it is also Memorial Day weekend. There is some debate over how Memorial Day got started. It was officially proclaimed in 1868, a couple of years after, 4 years after the end of the Civil War. There are many different groups around, especially in the South, that over the years have kind of taken credit for the origination of it. Originally, it was called Decoration Day. Some have attributed it to a Army wife, a lady by the name of Mary Ann Williams. And I will just simply say that there are enough stories that I'm going to give credibility to the overall narrative that Decoration Day, which became Memorial Day, was started as a way to remember the fallen soldiers of both the Union and Confederate armies. I don't know, and it could have actually started at more than one place at a time, where the Confederate mothers went out to find their sons' graves and thought, well, you know, they're a lot of Union boys that are buried out here and no one to cover their graves with flowers. And so they began to do both. And today it is recognized as a day to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could enjoy our freedoms. Some who volunteered willingly for what they believed in, others who were drafted, simply called upon because they lived in our country, and for whatever reason they devoted their life to the service and lost their life during that time. So it is a good thing for us to pause and think about those who have sacrificed so much for our freedom. Today we are going to be reading in the Gospel of Luke the words of Jesus Christ, who died so that we might have everlasting life. And today in Luke chapter 7, we're going to be looking at a little bit different story. I'm going to go ahead and read to you verse 35, Luke 7:35. That's where we ended last Sunday morning. Jesus speaking says, "But wisdom is justified of all her children." Now this is basically at the end of a passage. And as we look back from the beginning of this chapter to now, we see that Jesus has healed the servant of a centurion. He has raised from the dead the son of woman. And he has corresponded with John the Baptist. Now, he has done many other miracles that we're not told the details about. But after the raising of the young man who was actually in the middle of his funeral, Jesus put a stop to it, raised this young man from the dead. John the Baptist, hearing about these things, sent word to Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And basically, and we talked about this in great detail, that at this point in time, John's in prison. And I can't tell you what John is thinking, but he's asking, you know, do you have the ability to get me out of here? I mean, you've healed this servant that you didn't even go see. You've raised this young man from the dead. Now, he could be saying, what about me? Jesus healed other people. Jesus performed other miracles. And then said to John's disciples, "You go tell him what you've seen. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Not everybody gets a miracle. Not everybody gets delivered. And that was kind of the message there. And then Jesus had some very good things to say about John the Baptist. And so it doesn't mean that we're a bad person or less of a person because we're not healed. And then in the end, we come to this phrase, and it's because when John the Baptist came, I would suppose him to be a grave man. He came and he was more in the will of God than anyone I can think of. Probably more than any human being alive or has ever lived, John the Baptist fulfilled his role of what he was born to do, what he was sent to do. But Jesus said, you know, you looked at John the Baptist, you said, he's got a devil. Then I came, and I'm eating with people, I'm drinking with people, I'm a friend of publicans and sinners. You say I'm a gluttonous man. Of course, they weren't saying a friend of publicans and sinners as a compliment. I did. That wasn't the way they meant it. They said wisdom is justified of her children. And I say to you, there's things that we can't understand, but John the Baptist was here again, a man more in the will of God than probably any other who's ever lived, but Jesus wasn't a man. Well, he was more than a man. He was God in the flesh. So there were differences. And there'll be differences between us. There'll be differences in the way we preach. There'll be differences in the way we teach. There'll be differences in the music that we like. There'll be differences in the way God shows himself to us. And we read about one of those episodes next. Nobody's going to be healed, but somebody's going to have their greatest need met. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now I got to ask a question. Two questions, really. Number one, how'd he know she was a sinner? And number two, how'd she get in his house? Now that's, you know, that's just the bad part of my mind working there for a minute. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence. Now a pence would be about a day's wage. And you know, guys, we're talking, you know, realistically, 2 years worth of wages, maybe two and a half. We're talking $100,000+ if, you know, just realistic money in today's world. And the other 50. Now we're talking 5,000, maybe 10,000. Something that, you know, you could scrape up. A lot of people get almost that kind of money, maybe that much and more in their income tax returns, this type of stuff. I mean, this is not an unreal amount of money. It can be gathered up. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. For I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. There's a pretty clear example here. That here's a woman, and we're not told what her sins were. In fact, it's ironic that Luke simply describes her as a sinner. He doesn't say she's an adulterer. He doesn't say she's a harlot. He doesn't say she's a drug dealer or whatever she might have been. She's just a sinner. And everybody knows it. I picked on Simon a little bit for his knowledge of it, but they all knew it. She's a sinner. What's she doing messing with Jesus? Well, guys, the truth of the matter is, and Jesus, I think, explains this to us, the sinners are the ones that need Jesus the most. And the sinners are the ones that realize that they need to be born again, that they need to be changed. And I had a friend years ago when I first surrendered to preach, we would talk quite a bit, and he said, you know, Neil, he said, sometimes it's easier for that drunk out there in the street to be saved than it is somebody sitting on the front pew. Because that drunk out there knows he's got to do better. He knows he's losing his life. He knows how lost he is. But that guy sitting in there, boy, everybody's looking at him. They think he's already right. And the truth of the matter is, we all need to be born again. Now, guys, let me be careful to say something right here, and the folks at New Hope will probably hear it again later on this morning. You know, Jesus accepted all kinds of sinners. I mean, there were all kind of people that came to Jesus, and he received every one of them. And as ministers, as pastors, as churches, we should be careful to do that, but hang on a second. And I can't remember which pastor I was listening to this last week that made this statement. He said all kinds of people came to Jesus, but they left changed, not Jesus. In other words, and I'm going to be careful here, we need to come to Jesus. We need to be the ones who change, not Christ. The message needs to change us, not us changing the message. And I have been careful, more so the last few years than I have ever been, because I have tried to present the love of Christ and the grace of Christ. But guys, at the same time, we've got to be clear about what sin is and the consequences of sin, because the wages of sin is death. And I do not mean to take a passage of Scripture like this and beat up on those who have been faithful to pay their tithes and to keep the ministry going over the years. We all have problems that we must address. We all have problems that will be addressed, either in this life or in the world to come. Sometimes when we come to this passage of Scripture, much is made about the alabaster box. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. It was a very expensive thing that this woman gave to Jesus, that this woman destroyed on his behalf, that whatever the case is. But guys, that's not what saved her. The alabaster box and her tears and her actions were evidence of what was going on inside her heart. She knew she needed to be saved. She knew she needed forgiveness. And guys, listen, when I'm sick, I want to be healed. When I have financial problems, I want them to be solved. When I have family issues, I want them to be taken care of. But the greatest need that I have, the greatest need that you have, the greatest need that she had was what? The forgiveness of sins. Same was true for Simon. We know that this woman received it. I hope that Simon did. And I know that you can receive forgiveness as well. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Friends, that's a promise to you from Almighty God this morning, and I hope you receive it. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you. God bless America. God bless Israel, and happy Memorial Day to you today as well.